You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, The Final Four. And now here is Dr. Meyer.
Tomorrow evening is the NCAA championship game. I'm going to be watching it on TV, and I'm sure that many of you will be watching too. For some folks, perhaps for you, this is the biggest event of the week. But is it really? Yes, the NCAA Final Four is big, but how does it compare to what's coming later this week? Is tomorrow's basketball game as significant as Good Friday, when we remember the execution of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago? Is the basketball game as significant as Holy Saturday, the day when the earliest believers in Christ thought that their hopes were dashed because Jesus was dead in the tomb? Are you going to face the future with confidence because of a championship game? Or rather, because God raised Jesus from the dead, and that same power is offered to you today? I am, as I said, going to watch the game with great interest, but it's a passing amusement compared to the observance of Holy Week. I've got a real stake in that, and so do you. So let's take that television remote control and flip away from all the sports talk for at least a few minutes, and let's go to the Holy Week stations. Let's hear what one reporter has to say about the events of Friday, events that will mean more to you in the long run than any basketball game. The reporter on the Holy Week channel is Luke, or Saint Luke, as many call him. He's done extensive investigations into the life of Jesus of Nazareth, and he filed this report. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him. The criminals were also crucified, one on his right and the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Meanwhile, the soldiers divided his clothes among themselves by throwing dice. The people stood there watching, but the rulers were making sarcastic remarks. They said, "He saved others. If he's the Messiah that God has chosen, let him save himself." The soldiers also made fun of him. They would go up to him, offer him some vinegar, and say, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." A written notice was placed above him. It said, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals hanging there insulted Jesus by saying, "So, you're really the Messiah, are you? Well, save yourself and us." But the other criminals scolded him. "Don't you fear God at all? Can't you see that you're condemned in the same way that he is? Our punishment is fair. We're getting what we deserve. But this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom." Jesus said to him, "I can guarantee this truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Around noon, darkness came over the entire land and lasted until 3 in the afternoon. The sun had stopped shining. The curtain in the temple was split in two. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I entrust my spirit." After he said this, he died. When an army officer saw what had happened, he praised God and said, "Certainly, this man was innocent." Crowds had gathered to see the sight, but when all of them saw what had happened, they cried and returned to the city. All his friends, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance and watched everything. That's Luke's, St. Luke's, report. I'd like to offer some commentary on what we just saw, because several themes emerged in his report that are very important to your future. I'm going to turn to our engineer, Marilyn, who is in the control room. Marilyn, I'd like to comment on the Final Four at the crucifixion. Can you rewind the tape on Luke's account and zoom in on the first criminal who spoke?
Yeah, we can do that, Dr. Meyer. Just a second. Stand by.
One of the criminals hanging there insulted Jesus by saying, "So, you're really the Messiah, are you? Well, save yourself and us." Did you viewers see what happened? The criminal naively accepted what the crowds were saying. The Roman governor, Pontius Pilate, had put a notice above Jesus' head that said, "This is the King of the Jews," and that notice gave the spectators an occasion to mock Christ. The criminal chimed right in, but it was the dumbest thing he could have done. He was dying. Instead of aping the words of the crowd, he should have been thinking about the appointment he soon would be keeping with the eternal judge. I comment on this because I wonder if you're repeating what the crowd say about Jesus, or are you investigating the facts for yourself? Today the crowds don't mock Jesus as much as they say nice things about him. Pollster George Gallup found that 76% of Americans agree with the statement that the only assurance of eternal life is personal faith in Jesus Christ. But 69% of the same people say that there are few moral absolutes, and only 3% think that their prospects for heaven are poor. Obviously, I can't look into anyone's heart. Only the eternal judge of sinners can do that. It does appear, however, that the crowds today are saying nice things about Jesus, but many are not taking his absolute claims about sin too seriously. I hope you'll do something so that you're not blindly following the crowd. Read this week what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John have to say about Jesus. Go to a church this Holy Week that preaches Christ as he's revealed in the Bible. Don't just mimic what the crowds are saying about Christ. Find out for yourself. You've got too much at stake because you, too, have an appointment with the eternal judge. Now, Marilyn, can we fast forward to another one of the final four, the Roman army officer? I want to comment upon this man because he was not a Jew. He was part of the Roman army that was occupying the land, and that suggests that he was not likely to follow blindly the propaganda of the Jewish religious establishment. Are you ready with that clip, Marilyn?
Rolling.
When an army officer saw what had happened, he praised God and said, "Certainly, this man was innocent." Now, here's an important theme, the innocence of Jesus. St. Luke filed his report of the crucifixion in Greek, and he used the word dikaios. That literally means righteous, and it's used by the King James and some translations. Other translations, like God's Word and the New Oxford Annotated, translate with the word innocent. Either way, this Roman officer, being a somewhat disinterested observer, realized that Jesus was a godly man, a righteous man, who had done nothing to deserve crucifixion. In fact, Matthew and Mark, in their reports, tell us that the officer called Jesus Son of God. Biblical scholars aren't sure if that means that the officer had a saving faith or not, but my point is that he recognized that Jesus was innocent. Not only was he innocent of any capital offense, the Bible tells us that Jesus was totally without sin. Permit me now to enlarge on that important theme. Marilyn, can you bring up the clip on the second criminal?
Yep, here it is.
But the other criminal scolded him. "Don't you fear God at all? Can't you see that you're condemned in the same way that he is? Our punishment is fair. We're getting what we deserve. But this man hasn't done anything wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you enter your kingdom." You see, this criminal also recognizes that Jesus is innocent. The report from Mark indicates that this criminal had mocked Jesus at first, but he then started to think things through. He came to see that Jesus was as innocent as he himself was guilty. The reporters who work the conservative religious beat call what the second criminal did repentance. Repentance means that you realize you've got an appointment coming up with the eternal judge. The judge who demands holiness from you. The judge who says, "Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." And with that hanging over you, you're sorry for your sins. And something else. You look to Jesus for help and deliverance. Why did the second criminal look to Jesus for deliverance? The answer is clear from St. Luke's report. This criminal heard the claims about Jesus. He is the Messiah, the Savior promised in the Old Testament. He is the King anointed by God over all people. This criminal also heard Jesus' words. He heard Jesus say, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." In his dying hours, this innocent Jesus had forgiveness on his mind. Rejecting the mockery of the crowds, mockery that he himself had engaged in, the criminal believed that God had kept his promises in Jesus of Nazareth, and that's why he turned to the Savior for help. That's what you and I should do too. Unlike the basketball game tomorrow night, sin and forgiveness is not a spectator sport. Your eternal salvation depends upon breaking away from popular opinions about Jesus and seeing in him the innocent Savior for you, the sinner. None of us is completely righteous. Each of us is a sinner against God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death. When you read the Bible, when you go to church this Holy Week, remember to repent. As you and I have panned the crowd on Crucifixion Hill, as we've zoomed in on the final four in Luke's account, Jesus has been the center of attention. He has to be your center of attention too. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 says, we must focus on Jesus, the source and goal of our faith. He saw the joy ahead of him, so he endured death on the cross and ignored the disgrace it brought him. Then he received the highest position in heaven, the one next to the throne of God. This Jesus is the Savior of every repentant sinner. This is the Jesus who was willing to die, even though he was innocent. He died so that the Father in heaven would hear his prayer and give forgiveness, complete and free forgiveness, to every sorry sinner. This Jesus, the one and only begotten Son of God, so pleased his Father by his innocent suffering and death that God brought him back to life on Easter Sunday morning. This Jesus is your Savior. Focus your devotion on him. Should you be afraid of your appointment with the eternal judge of sinners? What did Jesus say to the criminal? Marilyn already has the last clip of the final four ready to go. Listen. Jesus said to him, "I can guarantee this truth. Today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus assures repentant sinners who turn to him that they will live forever with him in heaven. So, who's the winner of the final four? As far as the NCAA championship game is concerned, you and I will find out tomorrow night. But for the far greater issue of eternity, the final four at the crucifixion teach us that the winner is the one who puts faith in Jesus. Until next time, keep in mind 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, our faith is what wins the victory. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.